Well, good morning, everybody. You seem a bit quiet. Why don't you bump your neighbor and say, good morning. Good to see you this morning. Wonderful. Well, I feel like I don't need to preach this morning. I feel like Yoni has actually sung my sermon. It's always amazing when you know the Lord is working. Just before I carry on, the youth, you may go out. Are there any other youth here? There we go. They're going to have a fun time with, I think it's Moja this morning. It's amazing when the Lord surprises you and starts just connecting the dots in the service and starts tying the worship songs and the ministry to your message. And so I know that he's speaking clearly this morning, and I'm very excited about that. I trust you've had a good weekend. We've been enjoying the lovely weather. This is my favorite time of the year, April, May. I don't know if anybody else. Some people like summer, you know, and some people, I can't believe it, but there's actually people that like winter. I met somebody the other day, and they said they can't wait for winter. I was like, my goodness, what planet are you from? You know, who on this earth would actually enjoy a winter? He just said he loves getting cold. Needless to say, I prayed for him. But I suppose winter has its charms, and you know, you think of the wood fires and the hot chocolate and the warm blankets. So I suppose there are people like that. But I enjoy this time of the year. It's because the wind is not blowing. You know, I don't know why, but when we moved from Stellenbosch, we thought, you know, we're moving to Franschhoek, and I thought there wouldn't be wind here, but I got a nasty surprise, because we actually, from what I understand, there used to be a whole lot of trees here as well. And so I understand this was kind of the wind break of the town. As the wind comes down this lower part of the ridge here, you know, the wind used to be broken by these trees, and until they decided to cut it off. And our house is now where the trees were. So we pretty much blow away for about 5 or 6 months of the year. So that was a bit of a nasty surprise. So we're going into the 4 or 5 months of the year where the wind doesn't blow. And me and my wife, we get really excited about it, because all the plants that we planted in our garden, actually for 6 months of the year, actually can come slightly straighter, because most of the time they stand like this. So I really enjoy this time of the year. I'm getting slightly distracted. I want to share a message with you called Inflows and Outflows this morning. Inflows and Outflows. And it's amazing how I'm wanting to, in essence, talk about the river of the Lord and the water of God. And that's exactly what I think three of the songs were about. I've got a river of living water, a fountain that never will run dry. And then this song that Yoni just ministered to us. So a message called Inflows and Outflows. But before that, I do that, I just want to share one of the dreams that Jolene and I have. One of our dreams on our bucket list is to get to the land of Israel, the Holy Land. We've been thinking how and when would this dream, how would we be able to tick this item on our bucket list. And next year there's this conference called Empower 21, and every 5 years, Shofar is part of this movement called Empower 21, and every 5 years they meet together in Israel, and we're putting our faith out that somehow we would be able to make our way and get to Israel. So this is actually an invitation to anybody else in church that wants to get to the Holy Land. But the Holy Land is, I suppose, a pilgrimage for most Christians. And as I've been learning and reading in the Bible and kind of trying to understand the context and the time in which Jesus moved, you get an appreciation for the environment within which he lived and moved. And I think if you're able to walk the road that he walked on and to go to the Mount of Olives and to experience the Sea of Galilee and imagine where he called the fishermen to follow him, I think it just brings it home so nicely. And so we're trusting to get to the Holy Land at some stage in our lives, maybe next year. But the incredible things to see in Israel, the incredible things to experience then, and one of them is the Dead Sea. Has anybody been to the Dead Sea? Three of us. Great. So actually, I should hand over the mic to you guys now to tell us about the Dead Sea. But the Dead Sea is, it's an amazing, what would we call it? Sea. It is, I don't really know if it is in sea, but from what I understand, it's the lowest part on the planet, is what the one website says. So it's the lowest point on Earth. It's 8.6 times more saltier than the sea. So what happens is the flood water and the rain water kind of flows down the Jordan Valley, and it comes and settles in this, I suppose, this hub or this bowl, which is then called the Dead Sea. And from what I understand it, there's no life, no animals, fish. Fish, there's no plants in the Dead Sea. From what I understand, even boats can't drive properly in Dead Sea. And so it's this interesting body of water where there's an inflow, but there's not an outflow. So that's the whole thing about the Dead Sea. I think I've got one or two pictures there, if we can just have a look. It's really interesting. And so you have these actually compact salt, massive like ridges that build up in the Dead Sea. And it's basically a body of water where what is meant to be a blessing, water and life, actually becomes this unique environment where, because there's not an outflow, there's this kind of warped situation where nothing lives, hence the Dead Sea. They also call it the Sea of Death. So it's not actually a great place for life in a sense. I think there's another picture there as well. And so what you have is this standard picture where people are floating in the Dead Sea. This morning I was busy going through my notes again, and my daughter Margaret came in. She said, "Dad, what are you looking at?" So I said, "It's a man floating in the Dead Sea." I said, "How does he float?" So I said, there's a lot of salt in the sea, and because there's a lot of salt in the sea, there's buoyancy. So she looked at me and she said, "So hoef jy nie vlerkies te dra om na die see." And I said, you've got it. And so people go there, and I mean, you can go take tours, and there's you can go see deadsea.com, and you can book your time at the Dead Sea. And so what also happens is it's very mineral rich. And so what you have around the Dead Sea is kind of all these hotels and spas. And so what you go there is you go and float on the Dead Sea, and you read your newspaper in the Dead Sea. I've seen people lying there with their iPads as well in the water. And then they, hulle smeer jou vol van die modder. It's supposed to be good for you. All this mineral-rich mud. And so you go for your exfoliation. I've never been to the spa. But I think the ladies really have a good time. But so there's this unique environment where something is flowing in and it can't flow out. And it transforms the environment and it kind of creates a strange environment. In sense, a wonder that we go and look at. And because it's so weird and so different, we actually pay money to go and float in the Dead Sea. And as I was, kind of preparing, and I'm trying to sense, what is the Lord saying to us as a church in this moment? What is prophetically by His Spirit? What would He say to us right now? What I felt Him saying to me is, you as a church, you as Shofar Franschhoek, you've been allowed to experience much of my inflow just in the last few weeks. A lot of my Spirit moving in your midst. We had the mana on bait the other morning, and I just loved the way Stefan facilitated it. And he just said, let's just go around the circle and just ask each other, what's the Lord been doing in your life? And specifically those that were at the Holy Spirit Impact Weekend. And Man, I was just blown away just by the testimonies of people connecting with the Lord, of there clearly being an inflow where there was perhaps a trickle. There's a steady stream into people's life. And I realized that there were signs of life just popping up in the last few months, in the last few weeks in our church. And I wasn't even aware of the, you know, I'd spoken to a lot of you that had been touched recently and experienced the intimacy of the Lord. But I wasn't aware that it was kind of going so broadly. And just to hear the testimonies was so encouraging. And I know I've personally been experiencing that. And I was saying, Lord, what do we do with the inflow? What do we do with your presence in our midst? What do we do when you start moving, when you start speaking, when you start healing like you did the other night in Groendal? What do we do with that? What do we do with this river of life? And in one sense, you as a pastor, you've been praying for this, you've been yearning for this, and you're just like, Lord, don't turn off the taps because this is precious. Don't let it stop. And in a sense, us as leaders, we're feeling, how do we steward this? I said to you, I used the analogy the other time of seed, like Stefan said, you know. What are we going to do with the seed? What are we going to do with what he's released to us? Are we going to walk around with our seed bags and wait for the next conference and put some more seed in our bag and walk through life with a bag of seed on our backs? Are we going to go plant that seed? What are we going to do with our inflow? And I felt the Lord saying to me, just as I've blessed you with your inflow, now pay attention on the outflow. What are you going to do with my presence? What are you going to do with the gifts that I've given you? What are you going to do with, as I've revealed my gifts to my people in this body, in this church? You, Richard, pastor of this church, what are you going to do with it? And so I'm wanting to just share this morning about the importance of the outflow. And so it's great and it's exciting to seek the Lord and to experience Him and even this morning to long for His presence. But I just felt the Lord saying, you can have all of that, and without an outflow, it can actually become a dead sea. It can actually, that which is meant to be a blessing can actually become toxic. It can actually, from a place of life, it can actually become a place, I'm talking individually now, where if there's not an outflow, it can actually become a sea of death. And so that's what I'm wanting to share on briefly this morning. Let's go to our first scripture in Matthew. Matthew 10. These 12 Jesus sent out. It's the moment where he's in essence commissioning his disciples, and he commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. And so here we have a really defining moment for the 12. The 12 that have been walking with Jesus. And it's as if the mentor is saying, okay, you've been riding your bicycle with the little wheels on the side, and you've been watching me and I've been mentoring you. Now it's time to take off the wings. Now it's time to take off the supporting wheels. Now it's time. You need to ride this bicycle by yourself. You need to step out and be who I've called you and destined you to be. And this is this moment. And he's saying, don't go there, but rather go there. And then he's saying, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Doesn't that sound familiar? He's saying, go and preach and go and say the following. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Whose message was that first? Jesus and John the Baptist. That's the message that they go with. So it's not like Jesus is saying, I want you to ride this bike, but I want you to ride it completely differently from me. He's saying, do as I have done, say what I have said, preach what I have preached. It's not like he's giving them a difficult or a different message, saying, as I've shown you, go on and preach. Preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then do the following. Heal the sick, just like I have. Cleanse the lepers like you've seen me cleanse them. Raise the dead like I raised Lazarus. Cast out all the demons. If you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I've told you this before. Jesus came, he announced that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Therefore, repent. And then he preached, he teached, he healed, he delivered. All the gospels show the ministry of Jesus, how he started in Galilee and did those miracles, did that deliverance. And then here's what I want us to take out of this short piece of scripture in the context of inflows and outflows. And he's saying, freely you have received. What have they received? Well, they've received the kingdom because the kingdom drew near. The kingdom drew near in the flesh, in the sense that God sent his son incarnate, Jesus, to live and move amongst the people of that time 2,000 years ago. He gave them his son. They received his actual son. But they didn't just receive Jesus in bodily form. They received what Jesus taught and preached. They received the kingdom because the kingdom drew near. What else did they receive? They received the evidence of power. As they followed Christ, as they walked with him, as they gave up their lives to follow and emulate Jesus, he showed them stuff, man. He changed the world. He did stuff that made people's mouths hang open. He got the attention of the entire world at that stage. We often, you know, we get so used to the Bible and we, yeah, and Jesus raised somebody from the dead, and then he went and healed somebody. Then he went to the next house, and that one, you know, couldn't walk for 40 years, and then he could walk. And yeah, and then Jesus went to sleep, and it was a good day at the office. You know, we get blasé, we get familiar with the stories, and they lose their impact. But imagine being there in that time. Imagine somebody walked into Franschhoek, you know, and he just kind of cleared out the Mediclinic in Paul on his way here, and, you know, he came and delivered everybody that needed deliverance and preached in the town square and down at the market and everybody that needed healing. The word of time says, and everybody that he prayed for got healed. People, it was life-changing. When Christ moved on the earth, he set a standard in the Spirit. And this is what he's calling his disciples and the guys that are closer to him, the team that he knows, they don't know this yet, but the team that he's setting up to take the gospel to the world so that we would be able to hear it and experience it 2,000 years later. This is the team. This is the team. And this is the moment that he's sending them out. And this is the team that he's saying, you know what? I'm taking the wheels off the side. It's you now. This is their moment. And what he's saying to them is, you've received something. There's been an inflow. There's been an impartation. There's been me showing you what to do. Now go and be an outflow. You've received something. Now go and bless Israel specifically with this. And just as I taught the kingdom, just as I declared that the kingdom is near, you go and declare the same. Just as I heal the sick, you do the same. Freely you have received, freely given. I believe, church, that we are in essence being challenged with the same message this morning. And I just felt the Lord saying, as we hunger and yearn and thirst for more of his presence, let us remember that as we receive, we need to give. And I believe that as we give, we're going to receive more. And that's how a flow works. A flow doesn't work. It's not one directional. It flows in a direction. And the problem is if there's a blockage or a problem down there, it builds up. And then eventually you get stagnant water. And we all know what happens to stagnant water. Where that water initially was flowing and giving life, when it becomes still and it can't flow, it becomes dangerous. So I feel the Lord is saying to us, church, as you are hungering for more, as you're receiving more, as the testimonies are coming. I mean, I'm hearing testimonies. People are just spontaneously starting prayer meetings, and people are going to the hospitals and praying for people, and it's blessing me because it means there's a flow. It's not like the pastor needs to jump up and say, let's do it. You're just doing it. Praise the Lord. Please carry on. But I'm sensing the Lord is saying to me, as we're experiencing more of Him, just make sure there's an outflow, that this river can flow, that this stream can flow. And so, man, the word is so full of the imagery of rivers and life and how it's connected to God. So let's look at some of those scriptures this morning. God and water. There's so much here. I think I've chosen four scriptures. Psalm 42, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. The psalmist is saying, as a deer that's maybe been running in the Middle East, that's tired and is longing for water, he's saying, as a psalmist, as a follower of God, he's saying, my soul thirsts for you. Why would he say that? Because he knows that God represents life. In this case, water. So God is often referred to as water. The Holy Spirit is often referred to as water. So to ask for more of spiritual water is very biblical. Let's look at the next. I didn't even put that one there, John 4, because I don't think you can take another sermon on John 4 as a church. But man, it still remains my favorite chapter right now in the Bible, because we've got some visitors here, so I'll just take 10 seconds. But John 4 is just, it's exactly this. Just as the deer was thirsty for water, Jesus, after 6 hours of walking from Jerusalem through Samaria, is thirsty for water and asks the lady, can I have a drink? Says, why are you talking to me? Jesus saying, if you knew who was speaking to you, you'd ask me for a drink. He turns the conversation around. And basically what he's saying is, ask for water. It's like, what water are you talking about? And even now, I've preached it 5 times. Some of you still don't get this message. This morning, I'm standing in the shower. I'm like, Lord, give me more. I want more water. Not water on my head. Water from you. There's something spiritual that satisfies us. You know, I said this last time, but in the natural, we as men, we walk around with t-shirts that say, in 2 woord ons doors. And we go and fill up ourselves in the pubs of this world, and we think that's going to satisfy us. And Jesus is saying, man, I've got different water. And I'm not even talking about the pub. I'm comparing it to Jacob's well. But he's saying, ask for water, just like that woman didn't ask for water. He's saying, ask for water. Church, I want to say to you, some of us, yo, we're asking for water and we're getting satisfied. There's some of us that haven't started asking for water. It's time to ask for water. Jesus said you must ask for water. What does he mean when he says ask for water? He's saying, ask for more of my spirit. Because my spirit satisfies. Amen. I've got one amen. He's saying when you drink this water, it's supernatural. It's not going to last for a few hours like Jacob's water lasts, or like the pub's water lasts, or like anything else we're trying to fill ourselves to fill the void. He's saying, when you're thirsty, ask for me. Ask for my spirit. And it's not like you're even going to be satisfied momentarily. It's actually going to change you. Because when you drink from the living water, like I said, it's a fountain. We sang about, I've got a river of living water, a fountain that never will run dry. We're going to sing that song at the end of the church service today, because some of you didn't get that song. And I told the band the other night, I've been leading worship and singing that song for nearly 4 or 5 years, and I just liked it because of the moves. And you go to the left, and you go to the right, you go to the right. I like that song. But as we've been focusing on the Holy Spirit, it's like I saw the words for the first time. And I was like, yes, What a song! What more truth can you say that sing that says, I've got a river of living water, a fountain that never will run dry. It's an open heaven we're releasing, and we will never be denied. And so people, when you drink from the Spirit, something happens. Something that just continues. It's like going up to the mountain where many of us go there. You take your bottle up there because that fountain's always running. Nobody tells it to stop. Nobody turns off the tap. The Spirit is the same. Once you start drinking of a fountain in the Spirit, it just carries on. And the reason Jesus wants us to come and drink from His fountain is that we can represent life on earth. We can be blessings and agents of His Spirit. Because in the natural, we can only give this town so much. We can give them so much of the Word. We can give them so much good advice, so much inspiring messages, practical tips. But it's like Jolene said this morning, what we really need, what will really change them, is the presence of God. And the Spirit is the presence of God. That's what Paul takes much of his letters to explain, that you are now my hosts, the carriers of my presence. That means wherever you are, there's life. And wherever you are, there's water. So go give them water. Go share of your water. Be an outflow. Yes, let there be an inflow. That's the other hard lesson that we learn. We sometimes think we're going to go and be an outflow, but we don't make time to come sit at His feet so that there's an inflow. And then we go there and we go and try and serve this neighborhood with a cup half empty. No, no, no. Our cup needs to be running over. I say this to the band as well. You know, band, you're only going to take the church as deep as you've been in worship. Worship leaders, don't think worship is leading Sunday church, leading worship on Sunday. No, no, no. That's Sunday's worship. Bring an overflow. That means you're worshiping every day. No, and that's not even talking about singing. Singing is just one expression of worship. Worship is your life. Everything you do. The way you speak to your loved ones. Paul even goes as far as to say, in eating and drinking, in the mundane things of life, even that can be worship to God. So our lives are worship to God. Our lives are a reflection of God. So there needs to be an inflow, which means we need to be sitting at His feet. That's why I preached to you the other day about it all flows from the meal. Just as the Son established His identity, He first needed to go and have the meal with the Father before He walked out and did the things the Son did with the robe and the rings and the shoes on His feet. The outflow is linked to the is linked to the inflow. So we need to be in God's presence. But there comes a time where the meal is finished and we need to go and do God's work. There needs to be an outflow. Are you getting this? And this morning is slightly more, what would you call this? More of a prophetic type message. So it's not my kind of standard teaching. I think you guys know that. So try and stay with me where I believe what is the Lord saying to us as a church. And maybe if you're a visitor, just hang in there for a few more minutes. There's some more scriptures here. Psalm 46, Psalm 63 is the same thing. David writing, God, you are my God. Early I will seek you. I will seek you like a dry land where there's water in a dry land. So we have all these Psalms. 46:4 says, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Revelation 22 just kind of takes that picture to the next level. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. And oh man, I could get so excited about this because this is temple theology. In 2 minutes, basically what's happened, we're seeing the end point of God's people with Him. I've said this to you, God has always been a God that wants to be with his people. Where he looked for Adam and Eve in the garden. Eventually he comes and looks for his people in the desert and says, Moses, make me my tabernacle so that I can be with them. The tabernacle is God's presence. Eventually Jesus is sent to be with his people because God wants to be with his people. When Jesus leaves, Jesus sends the Holy Spirit. And Paul is saying, like I said now, that you are now the new temples of the Holy Spirit. And when everything is said and done and we've had the final days and we find ourselves where John describes we will be one day, we will be in another temple, the city of God. And the idea is that God always wants to be with his people, and John describes it so beautifully. But look what's right there. Just like as Jesus describes the Spirit as water, the final place that we go to, man, there's a river there. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God. If you thought I'm way off with this water imagery and this river imagery, I hope that just with some of these scriptures, you would see that there is a river that flows from the very throne of God. And speaking about his presence. And so as we yearn for more of his presence, as we hunger for it and literally thirst for it, and he's meeting that, I believe what the Lord is just saying to us is, what's your outflow? That's essentially my question, my challenge to you this morning is, what does your outflow look like? What are you doing with this water? What are you doing with the Spirit in your midst? Because when he sent his disciples out with his blessing, with his presence, he said, do as I have shown you. Go and preach the kingdom. Heal the sick. Deliver the demon-possessed. And so what are we doing with our outflows? I'm nearly done. Let's go to that next slide quickly. So prophetically speaking, I'm wanting to just touch on these 4 points quickly. It's the strangest thing, but since we've come here, every time that the Lord has given us specifically a word from the outside, it's been around water. We had this couple that came to visit our church only once. I was very disappointed. I thought they would stay. I was like, what happened? Did I preach bad or what? But I just realized, this guy comes up to me afterwards and he's got his little new visitor box like this and he takes the orange shofar pen and he says, this was an amazing service. I need to draw you. He was an artist. I need to draw you what I saw you. And he drew this picture of the mountains here in Franschhoek, and he had this picture, and like artists do, everything he drew had symbolic meaning, but it was basically a king standing on the mountain with a scepter in his hand. And as he struck the mountain, he said, just this massive river came flowing down the mountain and it flowed through your church. It's very first, I think that was the second sermon I preached here. Never saw him again. And as the months have gone by, it's just strange. When the Lord brings a specific word for us as a church, generally it's got something to do with water. And water represents life. Water represents the Spirit. And so the words that have been coming out in intercession is, it's like there's this trickle, but there are these rocks that are blocking these rivers, and what we've been praying through in intercession is, Lord, help us identify the rocks that are obstructing the flow of your Spirit. And that can be many things. That can be sin in our lives. That can be offense. That can be gossip. That can be stuff that the enemy comes to drop to stop the flow. Because I can tell you in the Spirit, that is what the Lord is saying consistently. Before Andre and Sonica came here, they gave us exactly the same word. They don't know anything about what the Lord has been speaking to us, but they said, it's like there's been a dam that's prepared by this church. And the Lord's just going to pour his presence and his Spirit and fill this dam with his presence. So those are the words that have kind of prophetically been spoken over us as a church in the last few months. And then we had intercession on Thursday, and that's what I love about intercession is, sometimes I'm like, Lord, what do you want me to speak on? What do you want me to minister on? And I generally have an idea, at least by Thursday. But it was so amazing. This Thursday, it's like the Lord came and he just spoke through the words. And Yanni brought this word about deep crying out to deep and hearing the rumbling of the water. And I was like, praise the Lord, he's speaking to us about this flow, about this water again. And then Rosita shares a word about river rafting. And it was a really exciting word, but it was different. And she said, I don't know if that's from the Lord. And she shared what it is about. And I said to her, I believe it's from the Lord. And essentially what she said is she shared this experience where she and I think, I don't know who was with her, they went river rafting. And I need you to hang in there quickly. I'm nearly done. And they went river rafting. And they came to this point where they went down this steep gorge. And it's like she realized that they can't go back. And she shared about that commitment, you know. And I said to her, you know, Rosita, I can identify with it. And I remember many years ago, I was still a student, we went on a mission trip to Zambia. And I'm closing with a story. And we could choose what we wanted to do. So we did a lot of ministry work there. And then we could choose. We can either go bungee jumping off the Vic Falls. And I decided I've already done my bungee jump here in South Africa. I'm not going to do that. You can either go bungee jumping or you can go whitewater rafting. And I decided, okay, this is the Zambezi River. It's probably the most hectic river in Africa. Let's try whitewater rafting. Okay, I think if I knew beforehand what I knew at the end of the experience, I might not have done it. But in any case, so a whole bunch of us signed up for the whitewater rafting experience with Shearwater Adventures. And they came there that morning. They picked us up in a truck and they took us to the banks of the river where there were no rapids. Okay, the part where it was calm. So I realized that was very strategic on their behalf. And so after a while, I realized that the two guides who were training us, the one guy was from France and the other guy was from the U.S. And a little bit later, we realized that I think a year or two ago, the one guy was like the number two rower in the world and the other guy was the number six kind of rower in the world. Okay, so we were really in good hands. And I didn't understand why we needed to be in good hands at that point. But in any case, we were in good hands. And so we basically like had the world champs that were escorting us down this river. And so they explained to us in non-dramatic terms what can potentially go wrong when you go down the mighty Zambezi. And so it was all exciting. We were, you know, students, and we were up for anything. And I remember kind of driving in this open truck and parking at the top of the gorge. And then we started this walk that they also didn't tell us about. And it was steep. And I so identified with Rosita's picture. And you kind of were going down this gorge on all fours. And it took long. And at the bottom, there was this still kind of part in the river where there were about five or six boats. And what I realized as we went down this river, I realized at some stage we're going to have to go up somewhere. I don't know where it is, but it's going to be pretty intense because that walk down here was hectic. And you kind of realize that you'd kind of committed to this experience. And so we get into the boat, and you got these two world champs that are in their canoes, and they next to kind of paddling around you, and then you got a guide in your boat. Our guide's name was Mr. Potato Head. I'll never forget that. I don't know why he was called that, but in any case, he was called that. And he was the one with the paddles. Our job was to hang on. Okay, so you had these ropes on the side of the river of the boat, and all you had to do, you didn't have to do anything. He would steer you through the rapids. You just had to try and stay on the boat. Okay. Which you would think is, if that's your only job, you'd be able to do that. But needless to say, we heard this rumble and this thunder in the distance, and I didn't quite know what it was. As you kind of going and the waters flow, and you're like, wow, this is amazing, and the scenery is beautiful. The thunder and the rumbling is becoming louder and louder. until you realize that this has got something to do with the river. And you come around this corner, and in the distance, you just see this wall of water. It's the first rapid. The rapid's name was the Overland Truck Eater, okay? And this, of course, they did not tell you beforehand as well. But the Overland Truck Eater is your first rapid, and I kid you not, the Overland Truck Eater is probably maybe a little bit lower than the projector. Now, you sitting in a boat, and you just see the static wave that's standing like this, and you think, oh my goodness, what am I doing in this boat? And our job was just to hang on. Mr. Potato Head was doing a fine job of steering us into the dip, because what happens with a rapid is it's not like you hit it flat. You actually go down, and then you hit the rapid. People, we didn't have a chance. It's like you took a box of matches and you just threw it like this, and the matches just go flying. These poor little stick figures went flying off the boat into all directions as the Overland Truck Eater devoured our poor little boat. Luckily, number two and number five in the world were going around the rapids and going upstream and just plucking us out and putting us back on the boat. I can't remember the rest of the rapids. I was too traumatized from the truck eater. But I remember at some stage, it kind of, the rumbling ended. And just to add a bit of spice, there was also a crocodile. A real crocodile on the side of the river at some stage. And he kind of fell into the water. And I was like, I hope there are no more truck eaters, because there's going to be some crocodile eating. But it was this intense experience. And all of a sudden, you were out of the rapids and it was quiet again, and you were kind of just floating, as if you're floating down the Breede River, you know, over here. And we realized we're not going to die. But what I realized, there was so much that spoke to me about this experience. And as Rosita shared her message on Thursday night at intercession, this experience came back to me, and I realized it's a little bit like that with the Spirit. You kind of hear the rumblings in the distance, and in essence, it's like Yoni's saying, deep is calling out to deep, and from God's throne actually proceeds lightnings and thunders and a river. And when you step into the Spirit, at some stage there may be some rapids. And I tell you, I'm excited for the rapids. I think they're coming at some stage. And the Lord's going to surprise us. But what I also felt is you need to commit. You need to step down the creek, make your way down on all fours if you need to. And when you're down, there's only one way. You're not going to scramble up the rock face again. You need to get into the river. And I believe the Lord is calling us, church. He's been calling us for a while. All the prophetic words, all the messages that he's giving, saying, I want you to get into my river. And the river is the river of my Spirit, the river of my presence, the place where there's life, the place where there's vitality. But the river is also unpredictable. And as Yoni sang that prophetic song, some of us are holding on to the branches, and we're not letting go of the branches. We're saying, Lord, we don't know about this river thing. And some of us are standing and just our feet are in. Some of us are into ankle or knee deep. Some of us are doing backstroke in the river already. I believe the Lord is calling us into the river of his presence, into the river of his Spirit. And just like I was looked after by the best in the world, God is going to look after us. Some of us are nervous of this river. And there's some of us that are sitting here this morning and you're like, Richard, when are you going to move on to the next sermon topic? We're tired of hearing about the river and the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. I want to tell you that at some stage, yes, I am going to start preaching on something else, but that's never going to leave us. Because without that, we've got nothing. We might as well lock up the church and go to the wine farms and enjoy the day. It's all we have, actually. That's what Jolene said. And it's actually the only thing that should be precious in our midst. And everything flows from that place of life that place of the Spirit. I want to encourage you. There's some of you, you're hearing the roar of the Spirit and it's scaring you. I want to tell you, don't be scared. Don't be scared. And just like we received training beforehand, before they let us down the gorge, that's why we had Andre here. That's why we've been doing training. That's why we've been preaching many sermons about the things of the Spirit. That you would know that you are gifted in the Spirit too, to be a blessing. And so people, I believe the Lord is calling us into that place in the Spirit. I want to speak into your fear this morning. If you're standing on the banks, if you're standing at the top and you're saying, this is not for me. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord to lead you down into the river. And He's a gentleman. He'll take you in slowly. But trust Him to give you more of the Spirit. And then I just want to close with this, coming back to my initial discussion around the Dead Sea, where there's an inflow but there's not an outflow. I want to challenge you and leave you with this morning. I believe that we're in the season where there's an inflow. I believe that the Lord is individually doing stuff in our lives, in our small groups, in our ministry areas. The Lord is starting to move. But just for all of us here this morning, I want to challenge you with a question. Where can you serve and be used by the Lord with the inflow that He's giving you? Where is your outflow this morning? I just want to remind us of opportunities. And some of it is happening spontaneously, like I said to you this morning. We've got people in this church. They're starting small groups and Bible groups that's not even part of the church. I'm so blessed by that. They're changing lives in the community. And they're inviting people to come drink from those rivers. I want to say to you this morning, don't wait for us. Don't even wait for us. Don't think that you have to do everything through the church. You are a host and the carrier of God's presence. Of course, we want to do stuff together as the church, but there where you are at work, don't think that you can't be life, that you can't be a flow of life in your work. Allow the Lord to use you right there where you are. But if we look at the church, there are a couple of places where there are already outflows, and I'm just going to touch on those in 2 minutes quickly. The first thing is the Prince Albert Family Mission. Man, we've got so many people. We can't really take a big team, but we've only got spots for one or two more people. So come speak to me or Mojo afterwards if you want to speak. Because we're going and we're going to represent life to that town. And I can't wait for that. And in the build-up to that, we're going to be doing outreaches more regularly in Groendal and Chochumbeni. And we're just going to start being used by the Lord and being outflows of what He's doing in our midst. So things like the Prince Albert Mission, there are other ministries you can get involved. The kids' church. Man, the other day we had 60 kids in the kids' church with 3 volunteers. We need help, okay? So we're discipling a lot of people in here. But let me tell you, there's another little church just across the gravel road over there. We need more teachers. Please, I want to encourage you. You don't have to know much about teaching. You must just be able to survive for an hour and a half, okay? And and we'll pray for you before, and we'll even lay hands. Man, you can get a cup of coffee and cookies afterwards as well. I'm saying this tongue-in-cheek, but please, our poor volunteers that are in the kids' church, they're on the edge, okay? And we need some more people to go and help disciple the next generation there. I'm telling you, before we open our eyes, they're sitting in this church. You can go and be an outflow over there. Please sign up. Multimedia Brett is doing an amazing job. I think we've got Lee on the sound desk. Is it your first time this morning? There we go, Lee. Let's give Lee a hand. Lee stuck up his hand at the beginning of the year. Up to this day, I don't know if he knows anything about sound, but praise the Lord, he's there. And he's serving. And he's doing a great job. I want to encourage you. There are many places where you can flow out. You know, I'm saying the tongue in cheek, but sound is so important. The band can practice the whole week, practice their parts, practice their solos. And if the sound guy doesn't know what he's doing, they can practice the whole week and he could have them muted. So come and bless the sound team. Brett's doing an amazing job with raising our sound team. We need more sound volunteers in the evenings as well. So come and be a part of that. Let me go through this quickly. Prison ministry. You know, each week we go to prison ministry, or Liesl goes each week. I go every second week, and so does Moja. I come back there each week, and it does feel like I've survived something, I'll be honest. You know, it's intense, okay? It's intense. But I feel like I've been on a mission trip. And it's just like I feel so blessed each time I'm done with prison ministry, because it feels like I was an outflow. I went there and I represented life. And you know what? They're thirsty there. We need more people, more guys. Come and be a part of that ministry. It's an amazing ministry. Let me go through these last few. Youth, where's Moja there at the back, man? Moja's doing an amazing job with the youth. We said to each other, Jolene, said to me at the end of the year, you know, we've got this amazing kids church and it's growing, but those kids in 2 years are going to be teenagers. We need to start with the next component. We need to start offering a youth service on a Sunday morning. I must be honest, I didn't have faith for it, but I knew we needed to do it. So we stepped out in faith. I thought if we have two people with Moja, it's going to be amazing. The first week, I think we were over 10. Then it jumped to 19. We have got youth. I don't know where they're coming from, but they're coming. Praise the Lord. You need to go and help him there at the back. He's doing an incredible work with the youth of this town. You can help him on Thursdays as well. He's ministering in the schools. People, we need to focus on the next generation. We can't just live for our own spiritual edification. Amen? Worship, come and be a part of the band. It's amazing. Next one. Sunday service coordinator, Simoja. We use him because he's got a great smile. Don't you think he's got a great smile? Man, just, Moja, amazing smile. So, in closing, it's been a season of outflow, or inflow rather. I want to ask you this morning, where is your outflow? I want to ask you this morning, some of you sitting, you saying, Richard, I don't even have a flow. You've been speaking about inflows and outflows in the Dead Sea and the Zambezi River. Oh man, I'm in the dark here. I want to encourage you. Just open your hands. Just become present to the Spirit. He wants to move in our midst. He wants to flow through us. He wants us to be His agents of life. And we're going to pray for you in a second. If you're saying there's no flow. And lastly, let's be intentional about both. So, if the Lord has spoken to you about your outflow this morning, essentially what I'm saying is, where can you get involved in church? And where can you go and be a blessing to this town? Remember the first scripture that I started off with this morning. Freely you have received, freely give. Freely you've had an inflow, freely be an outflow. It's essentially what I'm saying this morning. Let there be a flow. Let other people come drink from the life in your life. Come drink from the Spirit in your life. And that only happens by saying, I'm going to commit. I'm going to commit to a mission trip. I'm going to commit to prison ministry. You know what? It freaks me out, but I'm going to go put my name on that Kiddies Church volunteer roster. And may the Lord help you. What I can tell you is, you're going to come back in a few weeks and you're going to say, it changed my life. Because it's in giving, it's in the outflow that you are blessed. That's the weird thing with the kingdom. It's when you give of yourself, it's when we die that we get life. It's when we say we'll be an outflow that we actually get more of the inflow. That's the amazing thing. And God just widens that channel and just pours more of His Spirit through you, and your life touches more and more people. Who wants to live like that? Not just for themselves, but for other people, to be an outflow. So let's stand together. And I want to encourage you this morning. Let's get really practical. If you are sitting here this morning, and if you're sitting here this morning And you're saying, Richard, this message spoke to me, but I don't know how to apply it. I don't even have the Holy Spirit. We want to pray for you afterwards. If you're sitting here or standing here this morning, you're saying, I don't know much about your church. You've mentioned a few of the ministries. Come to me at the end. I'm going to tell you where you can slot in. I'm going to tell you where you can get involved. There's so many opportunities to be an outflow for Jesus, to be an outflow for the Spirit. But it starts with a commitment. It starts with a willingness to walk down that creek and to say, I'm not turning back. I'm going to jump in the river. I'm going to jump in the river of His Spirit. And so this morning, I just want to allow just 30 seconds. 30 seconds of you becoming quiet before the Lord and ask Him, Lord, what is my outflow? Where must I get involved? Where must I get involved? So do that. Close your eyes right now and you just ask the Lord to speak to you right now.